You're listening to The Founders News,
your source for inspiration and insights into the vast world of entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Nathaniel Johnson, and we interview founders, CEOs, and world changers to get a better grasp of what it truly means to be a founder. Taking preconceived ideas into mind-boggling realities. But there's so much more than a podcast, it's a community. We empower startups with law, accounting, consulting, and more. So tune into the end of this episode to get involved with our partners, resources, and YFS as a whole.
Maheshwari, a partner at AKM Global. Founded in 1981, AKM Global is a leading consultancy firm based in India, now extending its reach with a presence in Singapore. With over 350 professionals, including chartered accountants and legal experts, AKM Global specializes in market entry strategy, tax advisory, and corporate expansion support, making them a pivotal resource for businesses navigating the complexities of the global. Amit sits down with us to discuss his journey to becoming a founder and how he eventually ended up at AKM Global.
So, Amit, welcome to have you on board to Founder Series. Kind of want to start this off as we usually do. Take us back to your childhood, how you first delved into, you know, the realms of getting acquainted with startups, entrepreneurship, and ultimately leading you to, you know, be a managing partner with AKM Global today. So I know you grew up in New Delhi in India. You know, this typically, I don't know how much of an entrepreneur scene there was back there, but at least paint the picture to, you know, how you were growing up, what were your interests, and did you kind of know that you're going to be on the other side of, you know, this employment services firm working with the startups, you know, a few decades later?
Sure. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, Nathan. And it's always a privilege to be speaking on the founder, Yale Founder Series. So I grew up in New Delhi, as you rightly said, and I was a good student in my childhood. I went on to do my chartered accountancy course, which is equivalent to your CPA in the US. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I qualified, I went to one of the biggest tech companies in India called Infosys. I worked there for a year. And then the entrepreneurship bug bit me and I came back to entrepreneurship. So I came back to my hometown, New Delhi, and I became the managing partner of this accounting firm, which my father had started. So when I joined in, there were like five people, mm-hmm. very small firm. And as on today, we have grown that 300x in the last 15 years. And through that journey, it's not only about growing revenues. We were able to successfully diversify the clientele we have, completely transition it from a domestic focused accounting firm to an international focused firms where we work with a ton of startups in the Bay Area, on the hotspots in US, Denver, New York City, and lately Miami a lot. And as we have transitioned and grown as a firm, almost the entire client profile had changed, and now 96% of our clients are all international clients from more than 30 countries. But US is a big territory for us. Almost 50% of our revenue comes from that. And we are very privileged to work with many entrepreneurs in the Bay Area, in several places in US, like I mentioned, for helping them in their India entry strategy or helping them acquire talent in India, as well as working on their cross-border tax issues. And and in my finance and account background, interestingly, in the last couple of years, we also started doing outsourcing. So I have been an entrepreneur at heart. I have been able to build up service lines one after the other. I and my younger brother, it's a family owned business. We are both founders of this accounting firm. And like you said, the main aspect where we are helping founders is we are helping them fast track the go to market strategy. That's how we put it. So if a Yale founder, student entrepreneur wants to hire talent in India or want to scale up the talent base by having employees in India, we are able to give them a platform which helps them scale up in 24 to 48 hours without the need of setting up an entity in India, which takes forever. It takes a couple of months and comes with all their compliances. So the idea is to help startups and help founders in whatever way we can. So we have these multiple services. And as of now, we are 500 people. We should be 1,000 people in the next 2 years. We are rapidly increasing. Yeah. So yeah, entrepreneurship is very close to me, and I'm an entrepreneur heart. And I, as we speak, I'm still there. A lot of ideas going in my head, trying to solve problems. Which,
no, I mean, that's an amazing story. Love how you originally got your experience, and you came back, started this firm, and you know, it's very impressive. 500 people. That's definitely a lot. It's literally, I think almost half of our current sophomore class right now. So only imagine. But I guess, backtracking, I guess, just a little bit, right? I know you ultimately mentioned that now this firm does a multitude of things, which is basically your fast track to getting started. How did the idea, you know, for that even come about? And you mentioned how your father kind of brought you in, and you kind of found this through brother. You guys first started with accounting, and now you're dealing with this, you know, amazing thing of being able to source in, you know, different talent across India and these other kind of services. So, you know, where did that intuition originally stem from? Was it something that you kind of witnessed in the startup space yourself that was a need that you wanted to address with your accounting firm, or maybe different requests or customers? How did that kind of come about?
Yeah. So as I said, all our clients are international. So what happened was, as India started growing and attracting a lot of foreign direct investments, many of the companies, especially those in US and UK, started setting up their global capability centers, which we call as GCCs in India. Now, the idea of these MNCs was that they wanted to tap the Indian technical, Indian talents, which have good communication skills, are extremely talented, especially in the science, software, STEM areas, as well as pharma a lot. So they started coming to us to help them set up their Indian subsidiaries, which could then house this talent. And while we were doing that, over the course of the last decade or so, we started seeing that a lot of these companies in the US, especially which are smaller, take a lot of time to set up. It's very expensive. They hire the biggest of the law firms, or even mid-sized law firms in India, which charge a lot. And then it's very expensive to maintain, because India has a lot of compliances. So you had a entrepreneur wanting to hire 20, 30 people in India, usually their back office or their R&D center, spending a lot of time and energy trying to manage compliances in India, and end up outsourcing to people like us. Mm-hmm. And if the startups, so in US, like, startups either scale up very well or they fail, right? So this is a country which actually blesses entrepreneurs by helping them scale up fast and also help them fail fast. So I think that's what I like about US. So if you want to shut down an entity in India, it used to take 2 years. So entering was difficult and exiting was difficult. Yeah. So when the startups started coming to us, we said, hey, let's do this. Let's give a solution to you guys. Why don't you use our platform to first hire these employees? And then once you are very confident about India, once you have scaled up to like 50 people, 100 people, then you set up your own entity. Till that time, it's a plug and play model. So you just start within 24 to 48 hours, like I said, scale up your teams. We help you do that. Keep it absolutely legally compliant. We become the employer on record. And then if you want to shut down, you just tell us that, hey, I don't want my startup didn't go well. I want to shut down. Can you just terminate these employees, give them the benefits, and that's it. We are able to do that immediately. So you get out of all the fuss and the compliances of setting up and shutting down, and as well as a lot of recurring compliances. So there is a genuine need. And trust me, if right now any small startup comes, they love this idea. And there's not many people which are doing in India. You have a couple of other competitors which are global companies. But in India, there are not many companies which are doing it. So it comes as a genuine need. It comes from a genuine need, and smaller startups love it. And our platform is able to do India as well as Southeast Asia. So you have people taking talent in Malaysia, Philippines, Bangladesh, and Singapore.
Okay.
So that's what we do. And we are kind of very excited about this product. And it's scaling up very fast. So it helps you scale up also. You don't need to think.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's amazing. And once again, you know, the concept of having almost your own like mini firm of employees in another foreign country, you know, that's definitely something that people would, you know, love to have. And I'd assume it's a lot of regulations and legal and such that you kind of alleviating, you're bridging that gap together, which is perfect. I mean, yeah, there's definitely a lot more features of AKM that we're about to delve into. I mean, the last kind of thing, I guess, on the former side before we talk about experiences is just, you know, I continuously am hearing these, you know, immersive solutions that you're having for AKM, right? And you're saying, okay, now we're able to work with our clientele to be able to have them have these firms here almost to, you know, outsource employees, this accounting, this and that. So, I mean, just the last kind of question I have for you personally is, you know, I assume you're somewhat behind the forefront of, you know, implementing these new ideas and, you know, driving the success of this business as a whole. So, you know, what was your greatest insight into doing that? You know, when you were starting off with AKM and you guys mentioned you have this whole grand system now, I guess just on a personal level, how exactly did you, you know, how did you feel and how was that experience for you and ultimately learning and growing and building something that was, you know, dealing with international countries? You guys had such a, you know, large amount of expansion. I can imagine at the time it must be very, you know, overwhelming. It must be very exciting. So how was your, you know, personal take on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if I just kind of take a step back, so our DNA of our firm has throughout been doing cross-border stuff. We want to make cross-border transactions and cross-border compliances easier for our clients. That's what we have. It's been about. So the right from the day when I started off, we started with a clear mission to make it easier for multinationals to operate in India. So that was the DNA of the firm. And as we grew along, we wanted to hire complementary services to our portfolio and to our offerings. When we started, our entire client base was coming through large and mid-sized accounting firms from the US, which wanted their clients to use us for their India entry strategy. That's how we started. And as we went along, this need came into the picture, came into being, and most of these startups were asking their consultants in the US to determine whether they need a company in India or not. I come from an international tax background, and I was able to convince these people that, look, you really don't need an entity. You can do this, do your India stuff or the development work through this platform. And one thing led to the other. So we went into NAPIO. NAPIO is the biggest PEO organization in the world, which has a lot of PEO spread across US and multiple countries. And as we started advising clients on their tax side or their India entry strategy, we started giving this as an alternative solution. So this helped us scale up by using our existing contacts. So even though initially when I started off, it was very overwhelming. But as we grew as a firm, it's now very easier for us to convince. So any accounting firm or any entrepreneur or their advisors speak to us, they're able to understand very quickly that how can this solution benefit. So I would say it was challenging in the start. Now it is thriving with more and more firms using this model. And right from the starting of our history, we have been trusted advisors to the clients. And as the companies have scaled up with our model, we tell them that, look, now you have reached a critical size. Mm-hmm. It's better that you now use you set up your own entity or you use your own third party payroll. But don't use our model if you scale up beyond a certain point, because then it's not suitable. And our solutions come at a very, very good pricing. And also, so I think because there was a good genuine need, there was a go-to market strategy in place and our existing global connections, it was easier. So I would say that any founder who wants to do something like that, you need to have that ecosystem in place and try to stick to your strengths. So our strength has always been cross-border work. That's what we are known for. So it was very easy for us to do it. And that's how I think we have been successful in scaling this up. But it's a long way to go. We want to have 1,000.
No, I definitely bet. And I know, I think even your experience in, you know, being traveling cross-border definitely helped in ultimately shaping that whole model. And yeah, kind of the next, you know, thing I want to delve into is, you know, now that let's, you know, we went back to the present, we have AKM Global, past 7 employees. You know, you guys are ultimately working with that cross-border to initiate these outsourcing, you know, employment and accounting, et cetera. You know, talk to me a bit about, you know, certain clients. What's, you know, I was to ask a favorite example of how you guys best demonstrate what you guys can do with any potential client you guys have.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. So there are two examples which I would like to point out, and they cut across different themes, but ultimately showcase how we have helped clients. So one is there was a British company which so their tax advisors, a London-based firm, reached out to us. Hey, look, we have a client which wants to hire 10 people in India. We are referring it to you. Set up the entity for them and help them meet all the obligations. We said, yeah, sure. We got on a call. We gave them advice that, look, this is how you can set up. But we said that, look, if you are just 5-10 employees with this kind of salary range, I think it would become very expensive for you.
Yeah.
Why don't you try this model? And it was like immediately the client said, hey, I didn't even know that this kind of model exists. They said, are you really sure that I can start tomorrow? I said, yes, I'm sure you can start tomorrow. They said, I couldn't believe that setting up in India was that easy. They asked for a formal advice from us because we are an accountant. We are an accounting firm as well. So they asked for us for a formal advice on whether this kind of model would trigger international tax implications for the British parent company. And we gave them an advice, gave them all the comfort. Their British advice, tax advisors came on a call, said that these guys are giving the right advice and you should go for this model. We set up the model for them and it went very well for 2 years. And as I speak, just last month, these guys went under liquidation bankruptcy because a lot of startups have faced funding pressure. So they went into liquidation in UK and they were able to just tell us that, look, we are going into liquidation. Please terminate all the employees or help them find a new job. Mm-hmm. We said we will do that. We terminated all the contracts. We found out 2 new employers in a similar model for these employees. None of the employees lost their job and they were absorbed by these 2 companies. Again, 2 British companies having an India presence through us. So this is one way in which it was so simple for this British firm to start and exit. So this showcases that. The second model is where there is a US accounting firm based in Ohio, which said that they wanted to set up their own back office in India to process tax returns. They said that we want to use your service to first build the team and then after a few years, set up our own office. So we have built the entire team. We ran it. We scaled it up for them, put up the right processes. And in August of 2024, we are now setting up a joint venture with them, in which we will set up an entity and transfer all these employees to that joint venture for an eventual captive. So it's the entire life cycle where how you set up without them even setting a foot in India. They have a big team of 50 people in place, set up for them, custom setup for them and for eventual takeover without even ever entering into India. So these are like 2 kind of scenarios what we have done. And trust me, when you are dealing with a foreign country, if someone can solve all these hassles and can make you successful, there's nothing more you can ask for. I've seen that with clients. And if you get it wrong, you might exit with, it might not work for you and would decide to shut down. You'll never ever enter the country. So.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I love how the one similarity I'm already seeing is that they both didn't know just how easy it was. And that's always a great thing to always have for your clients saying, wow, I didn't know it's that easy. That's great in terms of clientele, them both having those perfect experiences. Let's talk about a bit more of a, I don't want to say hardship, but what was more of a challenging, say, example where you guys had to overcome sort of barrier with the client? Say they wanted something a little bit more difficult, and you guys kind of worked together to, you know, make something happen. Say outsourcing, I don't know, through the whole globe or something. Do you have any like encounters or experiences that would best highlight that?
Yeah, so there was one recent example where one of our clients, an American client with Indian operations. They said that we have set up an Indian operation because we have a manufacturing facility, but we are not ready to do that in other countries. So they wanted to set up in two countries, Malaysia and Japan. So they had a group of distributors in place. They wanted to get rid of the distributors, have their own employee sales agents who can do this. When we got into the call with the client, we says that sales agent being a sales agent can trigger tax issues, international tax issues, because then the agent is representing the head office by entering into sales contract, and that can result in a taxable presence. So that was challenging because we were not able to service the need of the client, but we explained them the entire concept. And what they have done is now they are saying that our agent, which we employ through the employment on record in our firm in Malaysia, they've said that we will change the job description of that individual and make them non-sales by saying that they would just be a sales support function. So we did that in Malaysia, but unfortunately we could not do that in Japan, even though we have a strong Japan practice, because Japan is a very difficult market and there they have very weird laws. So it's not easy to do that. So I would say that as we speak, we are still trying to figure out how to do Japan, but that has been a challenge. When you try to do it over multiple countries, every country has a different labor employment law. So like in Philippines, if you employ someone for 4 months, they kind of become your employee for life. It's not easy to terminate them. So you have different laws, employment laws. It's not like US and India where you can just fire someone at will and just pay a severance package. So navigating different countries becomes very challenging. And for that, we have a group of advisors spread across the globe who understand those countries. So I would say that's been the major challenge. In India, it's not been much. The only thing is that if some of the entrepreneurs say, hey, I want to shut down tomorrow. So that's not how it works. You need to give a notice period or some benefit to your employees as per your contract. So for that, we take a security deposit to make that happen. So that's the challenge. We have overcome that in India, but globally, when we go to other countries, every country has a different culture. So that's what we are trying to.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I definitely can see how the regulations would be somewhat different, but overcoming that is, you know, I imagine ultimately if you're able to outsource whatever you need from wherever you need it. That's amazing. And yeah, I mean, I kind of think we'll close it off finally with the final statement. You know, given all these, you know, beneficial stories on how you guys best developed and continue to, you know, have these subs outsource they need, you know, the upcoming of AKM Global, what would you kind of lastly leave, especially for the, you know, up and coming, you know, promising founders of tomorrow, you know, the people currently in college right now, right? People building their own ventures. I think I even have a few friends who always talk about they wish they could, you know, even outsource their own clientele, employees to where they can, you know, have them working or coding or developing something. So for more of a college perspective and niche, what would you kind of leave your final message to there, and how best could they work with you guys to, you know, I guess at an earlier stage, continue to build out that venture in the future?
Yeah. So I think one of our advice is, and I will, even though we operate in multiple countries, I will kind of stick to India. So India is a slightly complex market to navigate. When somebody is a student entrepreneur, they're juggling between various roles, they don different hats. It's not easy to focus completely and solely on your venture. You're still working and trying to finish your course as well and build something along the way. So it's not easy, but I would say that whenever a slowdown comes, and we all know there is a funding winter going on in the tech world, I would say it's an amazing time to be an entrepreneur. And it's also a very good time where actual genuine models which can solve the genuine need of the market, those are the only models which will thrive. So it's a good time to be an entrepreneur, but as you scale up or as you try to run your startup with a very limited budget, and again, because funding is limited right now, you need to be very conscious of your cost. So try to go with solution and service providers where you can outsource your non-core stuff and can at a very low cost, you can try and experiment with newer ideas. You can hire talent. Countries like India and maybe Philippines and South Africa, you have some amazing talent which comes at a fraction of cost in the US that will help you keep the cost down. But you need to have a viable proposition to make sure that you don't end up making any mistakes and not having a compliant model. So I would say, not trying to sell our services, but genuinely, it's always good to keep your cost low. I have been an entrepreneur myself at the start. And then as you scale up, then you can obviously have a more sophisticated structure. You can have a whole compliance team and accounts team, which can support you, and you can have your own subsidiary. So a lot of founders start small and they make it really big. I'm sure all the entrepreneurs of Yale, student entrepreneurs of Yale, would do very well. But that's the only advice I have. Try to leverage India. A lot of the top global companies are doing that, and we are there to support you. We are there to help you. We are there to make it happen for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's to the founders at Yale and obviously the other colleges were involved with and beyond, to where ultimately, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing you guys are doing. You know, I wish I even had that I remember some of the ventures I was working on in high school. I imagine I could have some of that outsourced. That would have been, you know, a phenomenal thing. So once again, thank you so much, Amit, and thank you so much to AKM Global for coming on and sharing your insights into how you guys best serve our startup community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Nathan. Thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone. Thanks.
Hey, y'all. Sean here with a quick sign-off. Thanks again for tuning into this episode. If you're a founder, entrepreneur, or world changer of any sort, be sure to check out some of our partners to accelerate your business ventures. Whether it's consultation with Adventist Law, bookkeeping and ideation with Mighty Startup, accounting or advisory with AKM Global, or even tax help with Heartbeat and Partners, YFS will continue to build and support a strong community of student founders and entrepreneurs, and with our partners, Speaker Network, continue to grow and accelerate your ventures. Peace.